Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado. No wonder Chevy Silverado is the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Does it get any better than Chicago food? From longtime favorites to newly opened locations, Italian beef joints to pizza places, burritos to sushi, Chicago's very own Eats celebrates a wide range of food and restaurants in the greater Chicagoland area. Hosts Kevin Powell and Michael Piff welcome you into their daily food talk in the WGN Radio Break Room as they discuss their latest foodie adventures, their top five lists, the latest social media arguments, interviews with chefs, and conversations with local celebs about their favorite places to eat. This is Chicago's very own Eats.
Welcome into a fresh episode of Chicago's very own Eats. I'm Kevin Powell alongside Mike Piff and a couple of special guests live in studio because Cafe Babariba is celebrating 40 years in Chicago. Operating partner Mark Sodolino and executive chef Eric Jorgensen joining us here in downtown Chicago at our WGN studios. Guys, thanks for joining us. Appreciate you coming in.
Thank you very much. Yeah, nice to have you.
We were chatting a little bit. You guys brought us some food. The dates at the bacon wrap dates. It is bacon, right, that they're wrapped
yes.
in? Yes. Fantastic. I've been to both of your locations. 2021, you guys opened Little Babariba in River North, which is very cool spot, comfortable in there, cool atmosphere. It's along that stretch on Clark with all those bars and restaurants, and great addition to the neighborhood. Let's talk about the beginning of Babariba in Chicago. We touched on it, that the idea of tapas was foreign to many people, maybe still even a little bit, but talk about the origin of Babariba, why you guys brought tapas to Chicago, and just all the success it's been.
Yeah, sure. So my dad's actually the original founding chef partner, Gabino Sodolino. My family comes from Spain. And at that point, he had him and Rich had a couple of great successes in Chicago with Un Gran Cafe, which is now Mon Amiga B, and then at the time, Ombria, which was a highly accoladed restaurant. And he went to Rich with a little bit of clout, and he was like, I'd like to open a tapas restaurant. And Rich said, a tapas bar.
Right.
It back and forth for, because my dad's got a very thick accent. If I can actually do the conversation roughly, I want to open a tapas bar. And eventually they figured out what it was. Yeah. Rich had no idea what it was, didn't understand it. My dad showed him and kind of, laid it out. And, they decided to do this in a pretty underdeveloped area at the time. Lincoln Park, obviously, we think of Lincoln Park now as beautiful, prestigious neighborhood. But back then, Cabrini was there. We were height of, the 80s where Lincoln Park wasn't great. And they decided to not just open a restaurant, but buy a building, three lots to be exact, in Lincoln Park and open this restaurant that no one had a clue what it was. And thankfully, it was pretty much a hit right away. And I remember working in the early 90s as a host, and the amount of time that people would walk in and be like, is this a topless bar?
Right.
Some joking, some not joking at all,
yeah.
Was shocking. Now, though, everyone knows what it is. They know what small plates are,
yeah.
So it's evolved.
I was going to say, just expanding on tapas, if you haven't been or you're not familiar, it is a lot of small plates. But I think if you hadn't been, you hear small plates, you're thinking, maybe I'm going to leave hungry. That is not the case. And there are so many different great options on the menu. Chef, I'm sure you could expand on that. But we just sampled some stuff. I love the shrimp dish you guys do. I always get the bacon wrap dates, some cheese. What other some highlights for you, Chef, on the Babariba menu?
Yeah, I think if you're going to come to Babariba, you got to get the classics, the bacon dates, the baked goat cheese, things like that. I love our octopus with an andouille vinaigrette, saffron aioli, our Iberico pressa with red chimichurri, our Iberico secreto bao, which is like a Japanese steamed bun with Gordal olive relish on it. So not super Spanish, but with the Iberico, we're trying to tie back into like the Spanish ingredients. What else? What am I missing?
Sangrias.
Definitely. Sangria has always been a major hit for us. Obviously, we have a pretty youthful crowd. We got the DePaul set there. We even have, people have moved into that neighborhood in their early 30s. So if you have 10 tables, chances are seven of them are getting at least a glass of sangria. It's about 25% of our total sales is sangria.
Wow.
Which is good for business. but yeah, sangria is very popular. As far as our bar program, you know, people, like I said, think of sangria as the drink of Spain. In Spain, they're more likely to drink sherry, vermouth, gin tonics, things that both Eric and I love. So we have a great gin tonic program, gin martini program. We have a great cocktail program overall.
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say, I just tried the sangria and can vouch it is a hit, and got to try a few other of the items you brought in. I was telling you guys off air, I grew up with people that have gone to Cafe Barbariba several times, told me all about it. I still have to go for the first time. I think that's going to change very, very soon, especially after trying some of that. For someone who's going for the first time, what should someone expect? Vibe, everything, when they come for the first time?
Sure. It's a fun atmosphere. It's not a place that you're going to come and sit quietly and, you know, hopefully not be on your phone. It's a lively environment. People go there. Our two biggest kind of demos for groups is a date, whether it's your first or your, you know, anniversary, 20th, or big groups for birthdays, you know, bachelorette parties, girls night in the town. So we get a lot of lively groups. So it's a pretty lively environment. We like keeping that energy up. And the whole vibe of sharing your food, and it's very communal and social. So it kind of lends to it. You know, you're probably going to order as a table. You can always order more. It comes out pretty quick. So, you know, 2 to 3 items per person, and sharing, trying a couple things outside your comfort zone maybe. So, you know, bacon dates might be relatively approachable, but if you're worried about, you know, the octopus dish, then someone's going to make you try it. So it's great.
I've been many times to both of your locations, and it's exactly what you said. It's a fun environment, and the interior decor is something different too that you don't see at a lot of restaurants. Just it's a cool mood in there, but it's also very lively and fun, the atmosphere.
Yeah, and it's evolved somewhat over the last 40 years, but there's some little pockets of the restaurant that look identical to what they were in the 80s. But when it opened in the 80s, I remember vividly that the write-ups always referred to it as the Technicolor tapas bar, because it looked like you were walking into Miami Vice. It was like, you know, like pastel pink and green, and we've muted it down a little bit, but a big thing, challenge for us and a big focus of ours, both culinarily with Eric and the bar program and also decor, is to keep a place that is 40 years old as fresh as possible, because we do continually have like a average age demographic of like 25, 22.
Yeah.
And so we want to not appear as the old dusty restaurant, but the cool retro restaurant. Yeah. So keeping it fresh is a big part of it.
And I'm sure it's a fine line too, because sometimes you've been going to a restaurant for years, you know, maybe it's been around from decades, and you hear like they're renovating. It's like, well, I don't want it to change that much, you know, totally. Because you want the nostalgia part of it. But to your point, you want to keep it fresh at the same time. Yeah. I'm sure that's a balance for you guys already being 40
Absolutely.
Years old.
Absolutely. With everything. Like I said, with the menu, we leave a, you know, 60-70% of the menu relatively static. Maybe we'll change the plateware and a little bit of presentation, but the bacon wrap dates and the patatas bravas that we serve now are fairly close to what they were in 85.
Those are so good. The potatoes.
Yeah, they are by far our number one selling item. Yeah. We sell like 180 on a Saturday night.
Do you really want
them? But then with the core, the same thing. You know, there's some things that we think look cool retro 80s, but then, you know, we'll throw in a new light fixture, throw in a fresh coat of paint, you know. Try to keep it fresh.
So with that 30-40% of the menu that isn't static, what is, we kind of joked a little bit off air about this, but what is that process like of coming up with new items, and how do you do that?
Well, luckily for me, I have Mark, who I swear to God, he should have been a chef. but we bounce each other ideas off of each other constantly, whether it's things we see on Instagram. We both like to travel a lot internationally, so it's whether it's things in Spain we see, or in New York, or other cities around the world that aren't necessarily Spain. And we're just constantly sending ideas. We have some partners in the restaurant that are also, will like send Mark ideas. Hey, I saw this cool thing in San Sebastian, and then we'll play around with it, you know, when we're not in the middle of holidays or grinding. You know, I get some time to play, and luckily, you know, Mark trusts me a lot, and so I kind of have carte blanche to, you know, create specials and new ideas, and I just text him, hey Mark, come, I got some stuff for you to try,
That's got to be a fun text to get.
Yeah, no, 100%. Like, oh, I got my work day tomorrow is tasting food, new food at that. I think also us expanding to River North with Lil Bob Reba gave us a little bit of a open invitation to play with the menu, because the guests that were coming in there, while they knew our brand, which is why we're successful, nothing was like so sacred that we couldn't play with it. And we kind of used it in the beginning a little bit as a test kitchen, and let's try something here. And it's only 75 seats, so you know, mm-hmm. you're only gonna do 12 plates of this new item. And if it goes well there, we can execute it. Then okay, now how do we do it for 800 to 1,000 guests on a Saturday? And it's been a fun experience having that different market in River North.
You mentioned social media, Chef. I wonder, just the restaurant world, do you? I'm sure there are advantages and some disadvantages, but what? How do you guys play into social media? Do you like it? You pick up ideas? How does that factor into the new world of restaurants when it comes to social media? Do trends drive you nuts and the at-home cooks, or are you kind of, do you embrace
yeah,
it?
Yeah, so I try to stay mostly professional chefs and yeah. things like that. You know, no offense to anybody else.
You're a chef.
Yeah.
I'm sure it drives you nuts, yeah. though, seeing some guy who's like doesn't have the background and he's yeah. going viral for making some kind of crazy grilled cheese or something in his
yeah,
kitchen.
And the way I look at things like that is like, yes, it's very easy to make one dish absolutely perfect when you've got weeks to prepare it yeah. and tweak it and whatever. But like Mark said, when we have to do something 800, you know, for 800 to 1,000 guests in the night, we're going to sell 150 orders. It's a little bit different. I do like social media. It's you know, it allows us to see, like, in the moment, like, what's happening for these certain chefs we follow in Barcelona and Madrid and oh, Galicia nice. And things like that, and then other parts of the country.
So you're doing real research with the social media. You
yeah.
know? Like, that's a totally different angle, which is yeah. great, I'm sure.
Yeah. I'd like to think our algorithm has learned.
That's what good.
We don't want any of the BS.
The algorithm knows these guys are legit. So we'll yeah. give them yeah. legit stuff.
I'm also sure at this point, I'm already seeing something that Eric just saw like an hour ago. Because it knows we're connected.
Yeah.
And we have some other chef friends of ours that we also share stuff. My other restaurant, Mon Ami Gabi, and David, Chef David at Mon Ami Gabi and Chef Eric are good friends. And we're constantly throwing things at each other, French food, Spanish food.
Yeah.
And Eric loves, and so do I, Japanese cuisine. And we're throwing things out there and figure out a way to play around with it. So that's always fun.
Mon Ami Gabi, also another great spot in Lincoln Park. Very cool space. You guys don't miss. They don't miss here in Chicago. I don't know what the secret is, but everything's a hit.
The
with
secret
them.
Is the hits you remember, the misses you don't. Okay. That's
well,
the secret.
Good point.
Yeah, good marketing. Good marketing.
What's the history of the name?
Mon Ami or
Kevin?
Oh, okay. So, honestly, truth to God, it means nothing. Rich
and
Melman,
everything now at the same time.
True story. Rich yeah. Melman loves a fun, funky name. And Rich is oftentimes the person who's making the naming decisions, certainly back in the 80s. There was back in the day, I erroneously said that it was a Spanish folk song because that's what I was told. And, you know, telephone game of this is where the name came from. that it was a Spanish folk song, and the refrain or whatever, the chorus was, "Hey, Bob Reba," kind of like Macarena, to be honest.
Gotcha.
I came to find out later, and then we actually have this recording on some of our computers in the restaurant and play it randomly just to be joking. It's like a polka song from the 50s. So, like, it's totally like Kenosha, Wisconsin polka, and the refrain of the chorus is like, "Hey, Bob Reba," something like that. It's a little more upbeat. But he liked it. He thought it sounded vaguely Spanish. And here we are.
Baba Reba.
Yeah, now it is.
It's great.
It is what it is now.
Baba
so,
Reba.
Yeah.
40 years. Congratulations. I know you guys are celebrating this week. There is a party that's sold out, I was told. But still, what 40-year celebration, what should everybody know about Baba Reba?
Sure. So, yeah, if you've been to the restaurant, it's a large three lots of land. It's a lot of different rooms. It looks from the outside like it's much smaller. You go inside and it turns out there's seven rooms you've never seen yeah. before. So it's kind of hard to do one big party, but we decided to try to do that. So we're expecting about 275 to 300 people.
Wow.
We have like activated the whole restaurant with fun rooms. Like, we're going to do professional ham carver in this room. We're going to have a flamenco show in this room. We're going to set up a a very authentic Basque style pincho bar. We have both of our bars open. We have a paella station. So there's a little thing for you to do in all parts of the restaurant. We have our newly released merch line ready to go for sale. So yeah, we're going to make it as fun as possible, true to what we've always been.
I'd like to go to the professional meat carving room. That one sounds fun.
It is. It's a Hamoni Barrico, which nice. For my money, best ham in the world. My yes. Italian partner will argue prosciutto, and then we stop talking. there's a whole art to it. It's Eric knows how to do it very well.
Nice and thin.
And thin on the bone, on the leg, paper thin. You should be able to see like light through it. So he's going to do that, probably better than either of us could, and it's going to be fun.
Well, congratulations on the success. I love Baba Riba, both locations. Here's to 40 more years. Mike, anything else for our guests here?
Yeah, I also saw that there's merch available to help Absolutely. Celebrate as well. And one last thing, because you know, for 40 years, you've got multiple generations of customers that are coming and patrons, but that also means, and I read this here, you have multiple generations that work as part of your team.
100%.
What does that mean to you guys?
It means, honestly, the world to me. Obviously, for me, it's a family restaurant. It's both the Millman family restaurant and, for me, actually, my family's restaurant. But we have, at this point, I have employees, dishwasher that's been there about 35 years. Our sauce cook that we were working with this morning has been there, I think, about 20 or 25 years.
Wow.
And now we gotten to the point where, besides me being generational, I have, you know, a server who's been there a while, and now her daughter's a hostess, a paella cook who's been there 20-plus years, and now his son's a busser. And we've got generations that have worked there, and it really means a lot to me that we've have been able to serve Chicago, but also been a home for people to make a living. And it is family in all the best ways, and sometimes the worst ones.
And I missed this in the notes. A kids menu?
Always a kids
That's
menu.
That's awesome.
I mean, yeah.
Kevin and I both have young kids,
so this is very important to us. Here, so this is good to know.
Absolutely. If they want to order off their regular menu and have ham and croquettes and this, that, and the other, by all means. But if not, we'll make it easy for them, ease them into the tapas experience.
Guys, congratulations again. Baba Riba, 40 years. Go check them out in Lincoln Park and Lil Baba Riba in River North as well. 2024 Halsted 441 North Clark Street. Guys, thanks a bunch for coming in. This was great, and congratulations again.
Thanks very much for having us. Appreciate it.
That's Mark Sotolino and Senior Executive Chef Eric Jorgensen. For Mike Piff, we got to go finish all that food they brought in for us.
Oh, and we'll have photos of that food on our website, too, so get excited about that.
WGNRadio.com. I'm Kevin Powell. Thank you for listening. This is the latest episode of Chicago's Very Own Eats.